This CD is brought to you by Agape Word Center Church International, located in the heart of Beltsville at 6728A Industrial Drive, Beltsville, Maryland, 20705. Agape is pastored by Pastor Kasana Chongo and Lady C. Now, stay tuned for the word. We hope you will be blessed with this recording.
Last week we started to talk about being a steward, being a faithful steward, and understanding understanding your life and your responsibilities. And we talked about how God is the owner and we are managers. And that because we are managers, God expects a return on his investment in our lives. He has given us responsibilities. He has taught us to work the garden. And that when we are faithful, there is a reward for it. That a steward is required to be faithful in all that he has been entrusted with. And we talked about how God has entrusted you with life. That how you live your life speaks volumes. God has entrusted you with time. How you utilize your time on this earth is key. God has granted you resources. How you use your resources will determine your faithfulness before God. God has given you ability and gifts, and how you utilize that will determine your levels of rewarding God. And this morning I'd like to continue on that, and today I'd like to ask to look at the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to read from verse number 14 to verse number 30. Matthew chapter 25, from verse number 14 to verse number 30. Praise the Lord. Can you all hear me? I usually have a challenge. People are always telling me to speak up, and I usually think I'm speaking loudly. But I don't think it's the case here, right? Let's read from verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Verse 16. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. But then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Verse 30, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. It's a very interesting parable, one that we always read from childhood. We talk about it in adulthood and all. And I believe there's one or two things, two lessons that we can learn from this parable on our journey of stewardship. Amen. And the first thing I see here is that God expects a profit from your life. God expects a profit from your life. Look at somebody and ask them, does God expect a profit from you? Ask them again, are you sure? Do they answer you anyway? If they are not sure, this parable is very clear. It says that the unprofitable servant was cast out. So right from the get-go, there is an expectation of profit from God over your life and the things that God has put in you. Amen. Now, I made a statement last week, and I said I'm careful to say this, but I made a statement saying that some of the challenges we have today in the body of Christ is also maybe because of preachers, because we have not really taught people that God expects something from them. It is always what God will do for you, what God can do for you. It is always that. And it is because, you see, at your basic level, the first thing that man is looking for is what? Food, clothing, and shelter. If I don't have food, it doesn't matter how much gospel you tell me, I need food on my plate. If I don't have clothing, I don't have shelter, basic needs. So you find that because of that, we are so busy telling people God will provide for you. God will provide for you. Is there something wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with that. But we have seemed to leave it at that. Okay? Such that now even when people have gone beyond, they have their basic needs, and they are now looking for good life, their personal lives, their security in life, their finances. Their mindset has always been about God providing for me, when we should have been teaching people that as much as God provides for you, he also expects something in return from you. And that theology, that gospel, very few people, we don't want it, because all we want is a give me gospel. And I've shared with you last week and today that as much as God is a give you God, he's also a receiving God. And the question today is, are you giving to God what he's expecting from you? What does profit mean, friends? Profit is simply the excess over your capital, right? Basic. You take capital. When people talk about business, they say we made a profit. What are they saying? They are saying I invested $1,000 and I received back $1,001. That $1 is your profit. If you invested $1,000 and you received back $1,000, you did nothing. You just exerted labor. but no profit. Are we together? How many of us know about this kingdom of heaven? All we know, many times, all we know about the kingdom of heaven is what? Is eternal life, right? Salvation. I'm going to heaven when I die. I'll go to heaven when I die. Ah, I remember when we were young, we used to sing this song. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the sea. Where beyond the sea? But the more you study the Bible, you find that God is expecting that whilst you are passing through, there's an expectation of return on his investment. And you are his investment. Ah, let me help somebody. Jesus was talking, when he was talking in the parable of the talents, he started talking before he got to the parable of the talents. What was he talking about? He was talking about the unprofitable virgins, the 10 virgins. But what prompted that discussion? The discussion was prompted. Let me help you. In go to Matthew chapter 25, verse number 45. Because here Jesus was talking about knowing, not knowing the day or the hour. And he started talking about the kingdom. If you look at chapter 24. Verse 45. Hallelujah. Verse 45 to verse 47. Verse 45 to verse 47. He says, let's read together. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? You see where Jesus is coming from? He's starting from what? He's saying, I want to show you a faithful servant, and this is how the kingdom of God operates. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Verse 47. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. Now, let's jump to chapter 25, verse number 14, verse 1. After he talked about that, he said, but when there is an unprofitable servant, there is something that happens to him. In verse number 1, he says, then, when you understand this, I want you to know that the kingdom of heaven will be likened to 10 virgins. He's giving you a similitude of the kingdom, how the kingdom works. Now, go to verse number 14, where we are. In verse number 14, he says, I want to tell you how the kingdom of heaven is like. You've never been there, so let me help you. Are you seeing that? This is Jesus talking. Because all you know is, I am born again. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. But Jesus says, yeah, you are going there. But I want to tell you how the principles work in this kingdom. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling. I want to tell you how it works. This is how it works. I'm Jesus. I'm traveling. I'm going far for a long time. And so what does he do? He delivers his goods to them. Okay? Now, before we continue, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. So let's be clear here. How do you become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? By accepting Jesus, right? As your Lord and your Savior. Not by works, but by faith. So Jesus here is not talking about people that are outside the kingdom. He is talking to people that have accepted him as Lord and Savior. Because he cannot be talking to people who are not in the kingdom about how a kingdom works. Amen? So he's saying there are people who are in the kingdom. And in the kingdom, verse number 15, I have distributed to them talents. Now, when you look at talents, today talents is interpreted what? Gifts, our gifts and stuff, right? Talent is that. But in this specific example, Jesus was giving this example and he was giving money. Amen? He was using the example of money. A talent, friends, was a lot of money. Let me give you an example. In those days, one denarius, which was their currency, was a day's wage. One talent was worth 6,000 denarii. So you're looking at a talent being worth, maybe in today's value, probably $1 million. So Jesus is giving this example. He says, he gave one $5 million, and he gave another $2 million, and to another $1 million. Amen? But I want you to see something here. He's saying he gave these talents, how? To each according to his own ability. Let's say it together. To each according to his own ability. And that is the key. So, Jesus knows and distributes according to your capacity. We were learning about capacity the other time. So, which means that whatever God has endowed you with, okay? So let's use this interchangeably, talent in terms of your natural gift or resources, okay? So whatever God has endowed you with, God knows that you have an ability to produce profit from it that will be pleasing to him. Amen? Are we together? So God knows that whatever you have, whatever he has given you, you are able to bring a profit. Let me give you an example. Where do the cream of basketball players play? In the NBA. Thank you. Hello? Who else needs coffee today? In the NBA, Brother Coca, I think everybody needs coffee after the service. In the NBA, right? That's where the cream of the cream play. But does that mean that they are the only best? No. God gave other people the same talent, the same gifts. Not everybody, but there are others who had it. But what happened to them? They never took time to exercise their ability so that the gift can do what? Can come out and become profitable. So many times you find people, I remember one time we went somewhere and we met this person, I think he was 7 foot something. And that's the way, the height they're looking for in NBA. At least. I don't remember who I was with. I think it was one of my kids. And they asked the person, are you a basketball player? Why? Because one of the natural giftings is that I must have some height. Of course, you have some short ones that really play well. But one of the, I remember one natural, this guy didn't even really know how to play. Well, he knows how to play because he was in the NBA. But he came from Africa and his one gifting was what? Was his height. If I mention his name, you would know him. But he came from Africa. And just because of his height, they said, this height, we can transform it into something. And he became an NBA player. Why? Ability was what? Exercised and come forth. So what Jesus is saying is very simple. He's saying, everyone that has come into the kingdom, I have given you a gift. And the gift I've given you is according to the ability that I've put in you. Okay? But as to whether you realize it into profit is a whole different story. It's a whole different story. So some of us in here, we have 5 talents. Others we have 2. Others we have 1. Does that mean that the one that received 1 million was lesser than the one who received 5? No. They were all the same before God. But it is according to your capacity. That's why you notice that the reward for the one that got 5 and the one that got 2, the reward was the same. The reward was the same. But what is it that prompted a reward? Jesus came to check the record. He said, Judith, I gave you 5 talents. Now you have entered into my heaven.
Which reward? Meanwhile, you are eyeing Pastor C's mansion. You say, ah, that is the one. And you are eyeing Miss Kalangala's double mansion. And you say, if she can get that one, I was a preacher man, preacher woman. And Jesus is saying, according to the talent, according to the giftings that I gave you, you fall short. Huh? What? Lord, how? That is a challenge that we have in the church today. Not just in Agape, it is very prevalent in Agape, but in the body of Christ today. Because of this me, give me attitude, we have failed to realize that God requires something of us. There is a song I remember, it says, there is more that he requires of me. This is the whole essence of the parable of the talents. Is to let you and me know that God is a God of the Wall Street. He requires a profit from your investment. Listen, if this is my understanding, and I know it is true because the Bible says it. If you think that the talents that God has given you are for you to just sit on, and at the end of time you just say, well, I've entered into heaven and expect a reward, you are kidding yourself. How do I know? He said, cast the unprofitable servant out of my sight. Out of my sight. My question to you today is, are you profitable? I won't even belong today. Because this parable is self-explanatory. How profitable are you in the kingdom? Because he's talking about the kingdom, not outside. It's the kingdom. Isn't it amazing that many of us, our talents, our abilities, are sought after out there, and yet the church is struggling. The church is struggling. And yet, the very talents, the very abilities that God has given you, he says, use them where? In the kingdom. Now, let me ask you, what is God going to look at? Because every time we read in scripture, God looks at his kingdom. So God is looking at you. God is looking at me. It is so amazing. One of the things, many times I sit with several of you, sometimes we sing a song in different settings, and I'm always wondering, I'm saying, wow, that voice. Why isn't she in the praise team? Why isn't he in the praise team? That is what a talent you are sitting on. I sit with some of you, we talk, and I'm saying, wow, that wisdom. It is lacking. It could be utilized in this place or in that place. In your life as a steward, remember you are not the owner. You are a manager. And how you manage what God has given you will determine your rewards in heaven. Trust me, child of God, there are rewards in heaven. The non-believer, their reward is right here on earth. Whatever they enjoy, whatever they have, that's their reward. But for the believer, there is an eternal reward. There's an eternal reward. And I want to challenge you today to look inside you and ask yourself, are you really giving to God what God deserves in terms of the gifts, the talents that he has given you? Can Jesus come and look at you, Mama Coca, and say, after 82 years, the gifts that I've given you, you have produced a reward out of it. I look at myself and I say, okay, God has given me a gift to talk when I'm with the Bible. It is so amazing that I rarely talk when I'm, but when I have this thing that comes over me, I talk. But the question I ask myself is, fine, God has given you the gift to preach, but in your preaching, are you profitable? Because it's not just opening your mouth, blah, 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 spitting on people and your ugly breath on people. At the end of the day, there must be profit. Trust me, if there's no profit in my preaching and talking to you, then my preaching is useless. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, he says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one must be faithful. Let me tell you, when I was coming up as a young preacher, all I needed was when is pastor scheduling me? When is pastor scheduling me? And when it is time for me to preach, I had to preach a storm. It didn't matter whether people are listening to me or not, because it was my time. I've been given this time, I must preach. At the end of the day, is there a prophet? Is there a prophet? I remember this day, I thought I'd really preached. Oh my gosh. Hey, that day, I came out of the place so, and everyone was saying, ha, praise the Lord. Ah, people, I tell you, people, hey, they can kill you. Ha, great word. Great word. Ah, praise the Lord. Great preaching, great preaching. And then my pastor came with his Bible. He never said great preaching. He just said, you said A, B, C, D. Can you show me in scripture? That day was my humbling experience. Said, can you show me? He says, the next time I give you a pulpit to talk to people on behalf of God, you better make sure you're telling them what God is telling you to do. Because let me tell you the truth, I had heard it from somewhere, it sounded good. I heard it there, I said, the day I preach, and I released it. The thing was very extra biblical and very unbiblical. And the people said, amen. I tell you, it was a very humbling experience that day. From that day, I went home and I said, God, shut this mouth except you have given me something to say. That's why when I speak, I know I'm confident because I have gone through process. I'm just helping somebody that wants to be a preacher. What are we talking about? Profitability. Are you profitable as a steward of God? Each according to his own ability. Hallelujah. God requires something in a steward. Number one, God wants faithfulness. Go to the scripture that says, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Verse 23 or verse number 21. He says, verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Now, when God gave the talents, when God gives the gifts, what is he looking for in you and me? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Because when you look at Matthew chapter 24, 45, he said what? Who then is that faithful servant whom God will make ruler over many things? Friends, this is very, very key. God has given you and me gifts. The question we need to ask ourselves is, are we faithful? Have you been faithful with what God has given you? Remember last week when we were talking about work and things like that, and I made a statement. I said, some of us, yes, there is a spirit of poverty, but there is also poverty that can be driven out by what? By a response to the word of God. Okay? So, anyway, I have a lot of stories. But here is one of the things. And a lot of times I've learned through process. Faithfulness, friends, is key in every area. Every area of your life. Have you noticed that Jesus was talking about faithfulness here and he was using money as an example? So when you begin to look at your life and my life, how many of us have prayer requests that have not been answered? Some of us, we may have resources, but we have no joy. We may have peace. I remember meeting somebody about 3-4 years ago, and they were telling me, look, if I could just give my wealth to have happiness, I'll do it. And I told the person, it has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with whom you have believed and whom you have trusted. I know people that have resources and yet they live very miserable lives. And I've met people who have nothing and yet their joy is full. So it is how you utilize what God has given you. How faithful are you? Remember the story in Luke. He says, he who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. We'll talk about that. We have a whole 90 days to deal with this matter of stewardship. He who is faithful in little is faithful also in much. But number one key I need you and me to understand is that faithfulness with what God has given us is critical in life. If we are to see what God will do for us. The Bible says, who then is that faithful steward or servant so God can give him what? Much. God can give him much. And many times we want to divorce our giftings from what God does. But the scripture is very clear. He says, how faithful are you so that I can turn this into a blessing in your life? I've given you this testimony so many times. But I want to talk a little bit about faithfulness. I remember many years ago, I'm sure all of us understand that when you come into this nation, into this country, if you're an immigrant, it takes a while for you to really step into what you are really meant or called to do, or what you've prepared yourself to do. Do you remember that when the children of Israel, they went and said, we want to go and worship. Moses said, we want to go and worship. What did Pharaoh say? Pharaoh said, they have nothing to do. Increase their Lord. In fact, stop even making straw for them. Let them make the straw for them, but do not change their quota. Do you remember that? And that is what the devil has done for you and me. He has increased our Lord so that we can no longer worship God the way we can worship God. He has increased our, trust me, many of us, we want to be faithful in the house of God to give. But when we think about the 3-car payments, when we think about the Macy's card for the clothes we don't even wear anymore, when we think about this and that, by the time we are done thinking about all of that, there is nothing left for God. Not that we don't want to. We want to. But where is faithfulness? Look at somebody and ask them, are you faithful with God's talents? The house of God is looking for you to be faithful in the house of God. There are so many things in this church that need to be done, that don't need money. So many. But if you were just half as faithful as you are to your place of work, this place will be transformed. Will be transformed. How faithful are you? There are people in here, you are so gifted in talking to people. How faithful are you in bringing people to the house of God? Invite somebody to church and you have a great circle of friends whom you can invite. But when it's time to go to church, you leave them away. And they are looking for a place of worship. How faithful are you in the little things? Or are you like the guy of the one talent, the excuse maker? He said, look, you've given me the gift, but I know you are a difficult man. So, I'm not going to work for you. I'm not going to do anything for you. Many of us are like that. I know you, but you are hard. I'm not going to work for you. Because honestly, if God showed up today and we look at the talents we have, we'll be so amazed. We'll even start feeling ourselves. We'll be like, what? Oh my gosh. Please, Lord, don't come to me. Please, Lord, I know what I'm doing. Faithfulness. Number two, accountability. How accountable are you? We'll continue next time. What are we talking about today? It is in a steward, it is required that one be found faithful. Can you put for me 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, chapter number 4, and verse number 2? 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. I hope that's correct. All right, let's read it together. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. So today, what are we talking about? Faithfulness as a steward of God. Reward does not come, friends, except faithfulness, number one. That's what God is looking for in your life.
The question I ask you today and leave you with is, are you a faithful steward? Yesterday, last week, we clearly determined that what we have is not ours. We are just managers. We are just stewards. So today, the question we have is, are we faithful stewards with what God has given us? So we continue, friends, on this journey of stewardship. Shall we rise to our feet? I'd like us to just sing just one song as you reflect on what we've talked about today. We looked at something very simple. The owner, he gave talents to each according to their ability. God does not give